Okay, let's get our Bibles out, though. If you brought your Bible with you, your smart device, let's flip those open. We're going to be in the book of Mark today. And as we are going through this kind of a Lent season as a church, you see on your chairs, there's a little insert. So we're trying to read along the scriptures as we look at the gospel. So as we're walking through the gospels in the next 6 weeks leading up to Easter, we're going to find basically Jesus' birth. We would celebrate in our scripture reading this last week, right up to his death on the cross and everything in between. And what's the overarching theme that we would see here in Jesus' ministry? It's not this idea, but there is something that is said here so clearly. So in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, as I was doing my reading, I came across this. It says, "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news." That's really the overarching theme, that we would repent and we would believe in Jesus. That's why he came. And the religious leaders of the day, they had similar scriptures in a sense. They had the Old Testament that they would read, but Jesus brought it to light. He brought it to our understanding. You know, they had it, but it was dead. It was empty, how they taught it. It was a law. There was just rules and regulations. But when Jesus spoke it, kind of as we sung this morning, "I speak Jesus," there's just something different when the name of Jesus is lifted up and it's read in that way. It becomes clear to us. There's no confusion. All anxiety and worries, they fall aside when we know Jesus. So that's the message. That's the salvation message. We would often see it all over, you know, the social media. We'd see it in our Bibles. We'd see it in the Gideon handouts, all those kind of things, all these faith tracts, that we would pray that kind of a prayer, that we would believe, we would repent and believe in Jesus. So, again, last week we had this, the handout, the read-along. So we had Matthew, or Mark and Matthew, and we read a couple of scriptures from each of them. So I want to pull one out of there that actually I've never preached from yet. That was kind of fun. I was just reading through. I thought, oh, hey, I haven't touched on this one, so let's have some fun with it. So Mark chapter 1, verse 21 is where we jump into the story. It says, "They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out," oh man, this is going to get awkward. Please don't do that. You know, I'm not kind of paving the way for somebody to kind of get up and, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority, he gives orders to even to evil spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As I read through these scripture passages, I would just want us to, again, get this overarching theme, this understanding of what happens in the story. As soon as Jesus begins to preach, you know, this is the very first chapters of one of the Gospels. This is one of the first things that Jesus does. He speaks in the synagogue, and we see how people respond, and this evil spirit's there. And he doesn't leave the evil spirit alone. That's what I really appreciate about this story. Jesus isn't just kind of like, you know, he's like a crying kid or something. Shuffle him out, you know, just like keep him quiet. You know, off he goes. Jesus actually just deals with this situation. That's one reason, that's one main objective of why Jesus came, was to overcome the enemy, was to overcome Satan. He has all the power, all authority in Jesus' name. We would pick up that understanding in 1 John, just to kind of echo that, chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." We see it so clearly there. So Jesus, again, he couldn't leave that evil spirit alone because it was causing destruction. He had to deal with it. He called it out. And it was really in vain that the enemy or this evil spirit even begged or pleaded with Jesus, like, you know, "Oh, what are you going to do with us? Are you going to destroy us?" Of course he's going to destroy you, and the evil spirit probably even knows that. The work of the devil must be broken, and the poor man must be helped. And often we don't talk about that too often as a church. We don't talk about evil spirits and, you know, demonic things. But I want to touch on that. I want to share some stories with you as well. So let's start looking at this piece of scripture. Let's dissect it a little bit. Let's jump into verse 24 as it says, "What do you want with us?" And really, the enemy doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. And he's saying, why don't you just leave us alone? You know, we'll just go away happy, but just leave us alone. Let us continue to cause destruction in this man's life. And Jesus is like, I can't let that happen. It goes on to say, have you come to destroy us? This is the misery of those evil spirits, that they persist in their rebellion and yet know it will end in destruction. They know how it ends. They know where they're going to go, but all along the way, they want to cause destruction. They want to destroy people. And Jesus didn't say anything. He's just preaching the good news, and the spirit is these evil spirits are trying to distract and disrupt what's going on. Jesus also, you know, this person is causing all this confusion. All these confusing ideas are going to come out of this evil spirit's mouth that I'll explain to you in just a moment. So when we see that, now I don't want us to be this morning being like, oh yeah, I know somebody that has an evil spirit or demon possessed. Just, I want us to understand what happens. I want us to understand how we respond to that, just like Jesus did. He just spoke right into it. He dealt with it right away. Up north, when I was pastoring up there for, you know, around 15 years, I was working with my lead pastor, was the associate pastor, lead pastor, Pastor Joel. I got hired on, and then he left on holidays. And the first Sunday, and we're ministering to this young girl at that point, and, you know, her file was pretty thick in life, all the things that she had experienced. So we were trying to help her along, and she was coming to church faithfully, and she just really wasn't in a good place. And I'm at the back. I'm the associate pastor, so I usually stay at the back and say hi and greet everybody. Music's going, and she comes in, and usually we have prayer time during the worship time. And she goes to the front to get prayer for, and the people started just trying to rebuke the spirit out of her. And at that point, well, then the spirit wants to have a showtime, just like this experience here with Jesus. It all of a sudden wants to manifest itself and you know, cause disruption and destruction and confusion. And so she's screaming and shrieking. She goes under chairs. She crawls to the back of the church. I'm at the back greeting people, and I see her come out. And at that point, I saw something that I've never really experienced before. It just felt like she wasn't there. She was moving and contorting in a way that was really just weird. And when you looked in her eyes, she was not there. I could really tell that she was under the influence of an evil spirit. So we try and deal with her. I go up to preach. The police are showing up. She's in the back foyer, like screaming, and I'm like, first Sunday. I'm like, whoa, this is not good. Like, if this is how it's going to be every Sunday, but it was a serious situation, and I had seen it firsthand. So we read about it, and we've also experienced it firsthand. So in that moment, though, there is something that is confusing. And what does that mean? What does that look like? So here's what happens in Mark chapter 1, verse 24 again. It says, you know, what do you want with us? Jesus of Nazareth. This is actually a confusing statement to the people that heard that. Because the evil spirit calls him Jesus of Nazareth. It's the first time that he's been called that. And he did it really to design and possess the idea to confuse the people's minds that Jesus was not the Messiah, that Jesus was just a regular guy, Jesus was just the carpenter's son, because nothing good was expected to come out of Nazareth, because the Messiah was supposed to come from Bethlehem. So we see that's a confusing thing that he said out loud. It also has this piece at the end of that verse that he said, though, which was the truth. And don't we see this so often when the enemy's working? There's truth, but there's a lie that goes with it, and it causes confusion. It causes destruction. It causes us to be distracted. He said this, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. That is a true statement. Absolutely it is. But it also caused the people that heard it that day to be very confused about who Jesus really was. We look at another spirit that was speaking. So in the book of Acts, we just jump forward a little bit here. Jesus is gone now. He's with his Father in heaven, and his disciples are going around planting churches, and they're just spreading the good news. And in Acts chapter 16, we encounter a girl who's demon-possessed, and she goes around and says this in verse 17. This girl followed Paul and the rest of the disciples. shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." What she's actually saying is true, but at that point when they were walking around, it was super distracting. When you're trying to like share with somebody, you got somebody and you're just shouting in your ear, it's distracting, it's confusing, right? When you're trying to follow Jesus and the enemy is shouting something in your ear that's contrary to what you're trying to do, that is a confusing spirit. Those who have only a notion of Jesus, that he's the Holy One of God, that have no faith in him or love for him, really don't do anything different than these evil spirits do. They know about him, but they don't have a relationship with him. It's a twofold thing. We've got to understand this. We can talk about God, we can talk about Jesus, but do we actually know him? The evil spirits talk about him, but they don't know him. They don't have a relationship with him. You see the twofold there. This is a gigantic difference between knowing about Jesus and actually following him. There's not too many places left really in North America where people haven't heard about Jesus. But how many people are actually following Jesus? How many people actually have a relationship with him, a personal relationship? That's the difference we see so clearly here. So in verse 25, it goes on to say, Jesus says this, "Be quiet." Jesus said sternly, "Come out of him." Jesus rebuked the evil spirit. Really, Jesus' words are like a muzzle to unclean spirits. It shuts them up. It quiets them up. And sometimes we forget to practice that as Christians. Now, please don't go around practicing this all day long. Your neighbor that you don't like or your boss that drives you crazy, we don't go around and exercise that gift at that point. But you know, you've experienced it in your Christian walk at some point. We're like, it's pretty dark in here all of a sudden. And the thing is, you do not need to be afraid. You have all authority and all power to say, "Darkness, be quiet in Jesus' name. Darkness, leave my mind in Jesus' name. Darkness that's in this home or this wherever my workplace is, be gone in Jesus' name." Now again, be careful, but I'm telling, like, exercise it, but be very cautious as well how you exercise it. Don't, you know, take that out of control as well. I'm trying to encourage you to exercise a gift, but not in a way that will be destructive as well. We want to be very respectful, but we want to make sure that the enemy knows that we're up for a fight. You know, we're in the business of Jesus, and we're going to see some things change. So in verse 26, it says, "The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. He cried out with a loud voice," really, to frighten and cause confusion to the spectators of the synagogue as well. Right? He didn't just leave peacefully. He just created a scene, right? Jesus is trying to teach on this weird scene going on. Whoa, what's going on over here? That's the enemy trying to, again, cause confusion. And God's about order. God's about just, you know, it makes sense. That's God at work. And when it's not, you're confused. You're not sure. That's when the enemy's at work. I remember another story. So again, my pastor, again, I've only worked in two churches, so most of my stories are up north. So thank goodness I don't have any of those kind of stories about, you know, here in Terrace yet. So we'll be praying for that. So Pastor Joel, my lead pastor, again, I was associate, he went to the hospital one day and they had a bit of a psych ward there. And so somebody that we knew in the community had been put in there. So they're under, you know, basically lock and key. And so Pastor Joel goes into the room. The guy lets him in and kind of, you know, locks the door behind him. And so he's just ministering to him, just talking to this guy. And all of a sudden, he gets a lighter out. And you're thinking, how does he have a lighter in there to begin with? That's really crazy. You're not supposed to have any of that kind of stuff. And he sets the bed on fire. He's like running around the room screaming. And Pastor Joel is like, there's a camera. And he's kind of like, "Hi, you know, there's a problem here. Hello, get me out of here." I think the guy went to get a coffee or went to the bathroom and thought, "Oh, the pastor's in there, should be fine, right? Close the door, walk away." No. So Pastor Joel's against the door, kicking the door. "I gotta get out of here. There's like a fire. This guy's going crazy." And Pastor Joel was just like, "Hey, in Jesus' name, you stop that." And the guy just stopped. I mean, the fire was still going, but he didn't, you know, rebuke the fire. But that was the only thing that was gonna get him out of there. You know, no guy, no door was gonna be able to stop. It was the name of Jesus. And I picture this as well, living in the north for so many years when I have got kids and we go in the woods and we go camp and we go where there's bears around and all kinds of wild animals. And I always thought, though, you know, we had shotguns and stuff. We'd, you know, show the bear who was boss. But I always thought, man, if a bear comes, like, I'm putting the kids behind me, and if we have to have, like, 12 rounds with this bear, I probably only have one round with the bear take me out. But I just thought, my first defense, though, is going to be, like, in Jesus' name. I don't even say anything, like, in Jesus', like, that was it. That's all I was thinking about, like, in Jesus' name. And then we might have to go a few rounds. But I just thought, I'm going to try Jesus first. Because, like, it's my kids, man. Like, and I want to be the protector of them. So I have fun with that thought. But, like, I'm really serious about this. As we talk about family, as we talk about friends, as we talk about people that don't know the Lord, like, in Jesus' name, we pray for them that they would come to their senses. So verse 27 goes on to say, the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this, a new teaching? And with authority, he even gives orders to the evil spirits and they obey him. It was so evident that he was possessed, right? This evil spirit shook him violently and he came out with a big shriek. It was evident that he was forced out by Jesus' authority, which I love to just see that as Jesus spoke, you know, the spirit left. But that's why they asked that question. What is this? Is this a new teaching? Because we've never seen this before, those people were saying. You know, the Jewish exorcists of the time, of that day, would go around and kind of chant and do, you know, things and kind of, you know, try and keep off evil spirits. But they had never faced an evil spirit and called it out like that. So that's why the people were like, whoa. Like, we've kind of heard about these things, but we had never seen it firsthand. So that's why they were asking, is this something brand new? And as we think about that, man, I want to be a friend of Jesus, the guy who has authority over evil spirits. I want to know that guy. Very last verse, verse 28. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As people shared the story about what had happened that day, you know, as they shared it verbally, because they couldn't text everybody, as they maybe wrote a letter or something and sent it off to their friends in the next community, that's how the gospel was being shared. The good news of Jesus was being shared just in that story about somebody getting saved, somebody getting set free from an evil spirit. That's the good news. That's how the good news spreads. That's how people are transformed. The fame of this miracle spread all over the place. And at that point in history, we're just in the first couple books here. The Pharisees, I think, are a little bit confused. Who is this Jesus? We're not quite sure. So they didn't say that it was blasphemy what he was doing because they were just like, let's just see what this Jesus character is about. But we know in a few chapters that the Pharisees are going to say, he is casting out devils because he's the prince of the devil, right? He's in charge of demons. So again, they try and cause confusion. And they try and trip poor Jesus up by making those kind of statements. I want to share one last story with you, and then we'll wrap this thing up. So let's just flip over to Mark chapter 2. Because again, we're walking through this Lent. We're walking through, you know, Matthew chapters 1 through 4, Mark 1 and 2, Luke 1 and 3, John 1 to 2. Like, I got a lot to cover here. You know, I got like 2 minutes left. So we're just going to look at one more story, though, real quickly. It's a whole nother sermon, but there's just a piece I want to pick out of it. So Mark chapter 2, verse 5, we'll start. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. If you remember the story, there's a man, his friends bring him up. They try and bring him to church. Well, church is packed, so they blow the roof open. And drop this guy down, and Jesus heals him. But he says to him, son, your sins are forgiven. I love that idea. You're thinking about this guy's laying on a mat. He can't walk. Like, what are you talking about sins? Like, he needs help. He needs new legs, you know? Like, what are we talking about the sins part for? And we'll explain that in just a moment. So verse 6, now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And I love Jesus, how he has power over sickness. He has power over evil spirits. He even has the power to read your thoughts. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking this way? That would have been like freaky. Like, whoa, you're reading my mind right now. Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and take your mat and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. That you may know that he has the power to heal you and to forgive your sins. I tell you, get up. I feel like Jesus was just like, let me show you. I'm going to forgive sins, and I'm going to heal him, because I can do both of these things. I tell you, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." When Jesus showed up on the scene, people had not seen anything like that kind of power and authority. And that's why we gather. That's why we serve Jesus. That's why we trust in him. I want to, again, so as we exercise and I teach you things about dealing with evil spirits, I also want to spend some time because it says there's two things to be done here, right? You know, you can know about God, but you've got to know him personally. You've got to have a relationship with him. And if you really want to be healed, then you've got to ask for forgiveness of your sins. And so many times we don't do that. We just come to God, God, look at all these things. God, I've got all these problems. I have all these pains. I have all these people that need to be prayed for. But we forget to say, God, actually, I need forgiveness first because I am a sinner and I need Jesus. And as we do that, that brings healing, that brings power, that brings authority as we confess, as we get on our knees. So I want to teach us that real quick this morning. Let's exercise that this morning. So I want to challenge you right now. So let's just be thoughtful. I know the Holy Spirit, we're already quick in your mind. There's things that you haven't confessed. You need to be forgiven of your sins. We're going to do that in just a moment. Then we're going to start declaring power and authority in Jesus' name over our physical bodies, over our families, over our community. Our community needs the good news. So let's just start again by just quietly yourself, just reflecting upon yourself. Just, you know, close your eyes if you need to, if you don't want to be distracted. Say, you know, just be thinking in your mind, Lord, I'm just confessing these things to you. Lord, I need to be free of whatever's going on in my life. Lord, I don't want to walk in darkness. Lord, I don't want to walk the wrong direction. Father, I don't want to be addicted to these things anymore. And I confess them to you in my heart of hearts. Father, I want to be released of these things. Father, I'm so sorry for allowing these things in my life. And I can't get rid of them without you. So I confess them to you so I would be set free from them in Jesus' name. The other thing is, so we want to be healed. And I know that lots of us have a lot of ailments. And so I found out where my thyroid is. I have a hypothyroidism. I didn't even like to say that because I feel like I'm condemning myself every time I admit that. But I do have a problem with my thyroid, and it's completely causing all these symptoms. It's messing me right up. And I'm just going to lay my hand on. I want you to lay your hand on whatever kind of ailment you might have, your back, knee, whatever it is. So let's do that together, Father. And you think about your own stuff. Father, in Jesus' name, this thyroid is a piece of garbage right now, not acting like it's supposed to. So I need a new one. I need it to be healed. I need it to be restored in Jesus' name. And you're the only one that can do it. So Father, I thank you that you have the authority and the power to heal that. Father, my ankle, oh my word, I'm always twisting my ankle. It's all messed up from all those years of skateboarding as a kid. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray for restoration in that ankle. Give me a new ankle. I need it to function well. And for all those that are praying for whatever ailment they have, Father, I just pray you would meet that need in Jesus' name. Let's also think for those of us that are in our family. I feel like most of my biological blood family doesn't know Jesus. And I really want them to know Jesus. So let's be thinking of those people right now. So let's just together, and again, you can say names if you want. So Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray that all my blood family would come to know you, Father. All of my relatives, just even Father, all those people that I grew up with as a kid, that they would all come to know you. They would bow their knee to Jesus. Father, as the enemy is causing distraction and confusion in their lives, you said that you gave us power and authority to rebuke that in Jesus' name. So we do that on their behalf. We pray that people that know Jesus would come into their lives, they would have conversations with them, and that they would turn from their ways and they would turn to you in Jesus' name. Oh, we just proclaim that over them. I just want to speak over our community just for a moment, and let's just be in agreement here. Whatever else you can think of as I'm praying this as well. So, Lord, for our community, there is this spirit of suicide in the north. So spirit of suicide, in the name of Jesus, we bind you and we cast you out into outer darkness. Be silenced in Jesus' name. spirit of alcoholism and drug abuse, we pray that would be lifted off of people right now in Jesus' name. There would be no more addiction to that in Jesus' name. There would be no more desire for that in Jesus' name. As they turn to the bottle and they turn to these things to smoke, they would be disgusted by that in Jesus' name, because they're a man and a woman of God, and they wouldn't want to just mess up their temple, because the temple's of the Holy Spirit, and they want to be clean and free from that in Jesus' name. Father, I kind of picture this idea of, like, you know, you're on one shoulder and the devil's on the other shoulder. Well, we don't want the devil on the other shoulder in Jesus' name. We only want God in the center, God in the heart of all of our people in Jesus' name. Would the devil just be silenced and removed in Jesus' name? All the kind of pride and arrogance that we usually carry around, Father, would you just shake that out of us? Would you help us to be selfless? Would you help us to be servants first in Jesus' name? And Father, for any other spirit, any other confusing idea that's out there, Father, bring it down in Jesus' name. We want to meet with you. We want to connect with you. And oh, we want to serve you the best of our ability. So help us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.